The Old Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas Day, is found in Exodus chapter 40. And it came to pass, in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put in its bars, and raised up its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. So he took the testimony and put it into the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading for Christmas Day is found in St. Paul's letter to Titus, the third chapter. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. The grace of God has appeared among us in the flesh. Let us rejoice and be glad therein. This day, the feast of the birth of Christ, we commemorate, we've got too much microphone power here. We commemorate from the words of St. John, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Based on that word, we meditate this day that Jesus Christ has become flesh for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. On this special day, the day named after the celebration of the Holy Supper, the Christ Mass, St. John the Evangelist bids us see the miracle of miracles, the incarnation of the promised Messiah. He begins in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, he tells us. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Creation is itself a divine miracle, a miracle that man cannot fully comprehend nor accomplish. Only God himself may suspend the laws that he places within his creation. But the mode of creation, the how it is done, is amazing as well. God creates by his word. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Today, the source of the creating word is revealed for your benefit. It is found in the divine love of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The power and the majesty that creates all things out of nothing humbly resides in a manger in the overcrowded town of Bethlehem. Here is a most surprising miracle, one that transcends all reason. The miracle celebrated this day and at Christmas time, the miracle that continues. The miracle that is God in the flesh. Let us consider this question. Why would God, the creator of all, condescend to become a creature? Why should the Son of God, who is from eternity, the Word that is called into being, the Word that has called into being all that was created, the Word that is truth and life, why should that Word take upon himself the form of a creature? The answer can be given with four simple letters, L-O-V-E. Certainly not your love toward him, but his love for you. The love of the triune God for his created world. It was the love of the Father, the voice of the Word, and the Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep that brought the created world into existence, a world created in love and by love. The Word that does what it says and says what it does. Let there be light, and there was light. That love was present when our mother Eve sinned and when Father Adam was complicit in that sin. It was present in the garden even when it drove our first parents from Eden, for the love had given another word to Adam and Eve, a word of promise, a word of hope, a word which promised that one born of woman would crush the serpent's head. The source of that love is the source of creation, the source of life, all life, human life, life with God, the source of redemption, and the source of your new life in him. The great miracle celebrated at Christmas is the miracle of the incarnation, God descending to become a man, that he might make fallen sinners sons of God. This is necessary for your life. You were infected with the poison of sin. You were unable to keep the holy will and law of God. You were lost and enslaved in bondage to Satan, unable to cease from sin and destined for death. And you could do absolutely nothing about that condition. So that word, which was from the beginning, that word which was with God, and that word that was God, that word that was in the beginning with God, that word which made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made, that word that was life, and that word that was the light of men, that word comes into your world as one just like you. Now, the holy evangelist saves the final clue to the identity of this word until verse 14. The word became flesh and lived among us. Here we see the Trinity in its various persons. The Father did not become flesh. The Spirit did not become flesh. Only the Son became flesh. The word that comes in the flesh is the Son of God. That word in the flesh has come into the world for sinners. That word has come for you. Like the rest of mankind, I know this might come as a shock to you, but I'm going to say it anyway. You were conceived and born in sin. You were lost under God's wrath. You were separated from him. You were hopeless and despairing. So in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Born in the flesh for sinners, born for you. Today, you and I live in a world ever more darkened by sin and death. You may feel swallowed up and suffocated by the wages of sin. The allies of Satan appear to have the upper hand in our culture and in our world. Your body bears the ravages of sin. Perhaps you feel, what is the use? Why go on? Now, dear friends, if this is a portrait of your life, an acknowledgement of your fears, then look no further than the incarnate Word. Jesus, God's Son, has come in the flesh for you. He keeps the holy will of his Father for you. He does it for you and all sinners. He brings reconciliation and real peace with his Father to you from what he does on the cross. He reunites you and reconnects you to your God through uniting you to his death and resurrection in your baptism. He does this because he has become flesh for you. His real flesh and real blood were poured out from the tree of the cross for you. His real flesh bears your infirmities and sicknesses in his own body, just as he did as he walked on this earth. The people that were in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is that light. And the word that became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Mary is the word that called all things into existence at creation. And he calls you into the kingdom of his Father. And today, that word speaks to you. He speaks a word of pardon and peace for sinners and sin. He invites you to rejoice this day, for the word has come for you. Through the voice he sends to you this day, he speaks his word of forgiveness, peace, life, salvation, reconnection. And just as at creation, so this day his word does what it says. Real forgiveness, true pardon, real life, true salvation. You are his child. He has declared it so. The Word incarnate has come to dwell in this place today. Now he implores you to join him in the feast on which this day is named the Christ Mass. For in that supper, He is both food and host. He is also the guest. There you, at the table, filled with his body and blood, might live for the work and the beauty that he would have you do in his created world. For love has come down for you at Christmas. Divine love. Love for you. Now, filled with his love, you may continue to serve your God as you love and serve the neighbor in need. All because the best and most miraculous gift ever given, the Word, has become flesh for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.